praise report on Robert Sr. We do want to continue to pray. He believes in Jesus now, y'all.
Isn't that awesome?
He saw angels in his room yesterday. He spoke to my sister and his son, her husband, was up there visiting these last few days because they got a call. And they said he was seeing angels in the room. And then before they left this morning, he spoke. He said, "Get me my pants." He wanted his britches. And let's continue to pray for Joe Pyatt and Miss Neva. What you got over there, sister?
We want to pray for Tammy Yell. She hasn't felt well since yesterday. Our friend and faithful listener, Mignon Sayre, has a sinus infection. And our friend and faithful listener, Lisa Taylor, asked us to pray for Ella's procedure this morning, her daughter.
Okay. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we know that you were well aware of every one of these needs before we spoke them in this room. Your word tells us that on the whole earth that not even a small sparrow could fall to the ground that you don't notice it. You told us through Jesus, you told us that every hair on our head is numbered. God cares, our Father cares so intimately about us that even every hair on our head is numbered. So, Father, we know that in these prayer requests, Lord God, for Robert, for Joe, for Tammy, for Mignon, for Lisa, Ella, we know that you are aware of every single situation. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and your grace, Lord Jesus, that you chose to reveal the reality of your kingdom to Robert by allowing him to see a glimpse into the realm of the Spirit, Lord, as he saw angels in his room, Lord God, and it caused him to respond, Lord God. You are so gracious, God. You are not obligated to do that for anyone. But I believe you did it in response to our prayers, Lord God, to the prayers that were prayed. And we pray that you would solidify his faith in you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you'd give him eyes that can see to open your word and read it, Lord God. And Father, we pray that you do an astounding miracle on his behalf. An even greater miracle than the one that's already done, which is the greatest miracle of all, to come to faith. We ask you, Father, for intervention in the physical realm. We pray that, Lord, also for Joe Pyatt. We stand in agreement. We know that Joe, Neva, and all the people praying for Joe, we're trusting you with his health. God, he wouldn't be here right now if it weren't for faith. He wouldn't be here right now if it weren't for your mercy or your grace. And, Lord, I just cannot believe at all that you brought him this far and you won't take him the rest of the way. Father, we are asking you to restore him to a place of health that is appropriate for him. Lord, you know every detail. We pray for Tammy, Lord God, Tammy Yale, Lord God. And whatever's going on in her body, Father, we just speak and release life and healing and strength over her. We pray, God, that your grace would take hold of her in such a way that she just began to have such a recovery that she has another testimony of your goodness. And, Father, for Mignon, Lord God, we know that there are times where all of us are attacked by things. And, Lord, this sinus infection has come into her body. Father, her body is trying to fight it by the immune system that you've given her. But we ask, Lord, for help. We ask, Lord, for your divine intervention that this sinus infection would simply dissipate and be gone like that fog outside was this morning. And we pray for Lisa. We pray for Ella, Lord, whatever the procedure is, Father God, we know that you are ordering steps and you are in charge of the well-being of Ella. And so we entrust that to you and we thank you, Father. You're so kind and gracious. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor D. Light, the White Shepherd. His title this morning is Too Blessed to Stress.
You too blessed. Martha, you got Jesus in your house having a meal with you.
But that Mary needs to get up and help me.
You're too blessed to be stressed. But that doesn't, listen, you are today. I guarantee you this. You are too blessed to be stressed. You say, well, you don't know me. You don't know what's going on in my life. I know Jesus. And just because of him, you, me, her, they, you're too blessed to be stressed. That does not, I wish it was, you're so blessed you can't be stressed. That's not how it is. We choose it. I don't choose to be stressed out. I don't want to be stressed out. I hate it when I get stressed out. Well, then why do you let it happen? I don't let it happen. It just does. Well, let's find out. So Martha's fretting, stewing, gets up, literally goes and rebukes Jesus. And he said, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needful. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So would you say that there's a bit of a relationship struggle going on here between these two sisters? Yes. Let's go to the book of Philippians. We're going to learn about conflict resolution and conflict avoidance between people. Always remember this, people are not your problem. If you have a problem, if there's a challenge in your life, we're not warring against flesh and blood, right? But flesh and blood certainly has a part to play in it, especially when it's, you ready, when it's my flesh and blood. It's not what other people's flesh and blood does that really affects my life. It's what I do that affects my life. And what I do can affect other people's lives too, but let's look quickly at Philippians. We'll start 4:4. And I'm going to read through verse 7, and then we're going to talk about it and back up a little bit. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. What if Martha was rejoicing? You think she would have got upset? No, I don't think so. I say it again, rejoice. Well, just rejoice. Instead of her thinking about how Mary's not helping and all the stress she's putting on herself about having to be the perfect hostess, if she would have just been rejoicing, she would have never, ever, ever got stressed out to the point she walked in there and began to tell Jesus how to do things. Rejoice in the Lord always. In the Lord. Doesn't say rejoice in the circumstance. It says rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Was she being gentle? No, she was not being gentle at all. She got type A aggressive. Went in there and started bossing Jesus. I can imagine the look she gave her sister when she walked in there. Can you imagine that look? You're in for it now, little sister. You know, got away with it for a minute, but that's over. He said, let your gentleness be evident to all. In other words, it ought to show that you're being gentle. It's an outward, it's not I'm gentle on the inside, but I'm rough on the outside. He says, let your gentleness be evident. In other words, treat people gently. Be gentle about your actions. Let it be evident. Why? The Lord is near. The Lord's near. He's near you. That near can mean two things. It means he is close to you in proximity, and it also means he is near in his coming. I mean, you want to be fretting and stewing and anxious and treating people ugly when Jesus comes back? I don't. I'm not saying I'm not capable of fretting and stewing and treating people ugly. I have to admit there are times that I have to go back. I have to preach this to myself. I have to remember that, dude, you're letting this stuff get to you, and you're treating your wife and not very good. You're treating your kids. You talk. You know, I don't. There are a lot of people you can't get away with it, so you don't. Right? But people that what we tend to do is we tend to take it out on people that are close to us, so we feel like we can get away with it. Well, the truth of the matter is, we don't want to feel like we can get away with it. We should never let anxiety and fretting work us to the point where we act out of character. We should be rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice and let your gentleness be evident to all. If you're rejoicing, the natural response of you having that rejoicing on the inside is that you are going to walk around. You're gonna walk softly and carry a big stick. And because you walk softly and carry the big stick, you don't have to use it. Okay. Verse 6. I bet you've heard this verse before. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's our part. What are we supposed to do instead of fretting? Instead of worrying, what are we supposed to do? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. We got to have a little Passion Translation today, don't we? Here it is from the Passion Translation. Don't be pulled in different directions. That's what's going on with Martha, wasn't it? She's pulled. She herself wants to sit down at the feet of Jesus. That's why she's so upset at Mary. But she feels pulled by her obligations and her responsibilities. I can tell you this. I'm going to fess up here. The times in my life when I act the ugliest to the people that are close to me, and usually it's my wife, the times that I act the ugliest are when I feel like I've literally got something or someone or some things just literally pulling me apart. I'm like, I am not monkey bread. You don't know what that is. You need to learn. That's some stuff right there. You know, but sometimes it's like the other day, I'm going to fess up to you. My mom called me. She had electrical issues. She had already paid some electricians that I'm going to let remain nameless for the sake of grace. They were not from Elk City. But she'd paid them, in my opinion, way overpaid them. They took advantage of her. She's an 86-year-old woman who happened to be a widow, who had a husband that took care of things. And that torques my wrench when I see people in the trades or whoever take advantage of people. And she knew that I was busy, so she didn't bother me and call me and whatever. And she hires them to change out her breaker box. They come change it out. They don't do it the way it should have been done. They change out her old screw-in fuse box, and they put her new breaker box outside, and then they just ran the wire right in and hooked it all up in a conglomerated mess to all the old wiring. She hired them. She told them, I want you to fix it. I've got circuits in my house overloaded. We are always blowing these fuses. She didn't say, do it this way or do it that way. She said, I want you to fix it. All they did is put the new breaker box outside, run about 4 feet of wire into this conglomerated hole-to-wall mess where they took the old fuse box out, and they didn't even put a cover over it. You walk on her back porch up there, here's all these wire nuts, this, that, and everything else up there. I'm thinking, if there were children here, which are not, but if there were and they got a step stool, they could reach in there and just grab wires. I'm pretty sure that ain't code. Even though this house is in the country, I'm pretty sure that's not the way to do things, especially when you're going to charge somebody $3,000. I was pretty upset when I found out about it. She calls me and she tells me my kitchen circuit keeps going on and off. It's flickering. It flicks. It comes on. It goes off. I said, does it trip the breaker, the new breaker? And she goes, I don't think so. You know, my brother had gone out there and looked at it. And he doesn't know about things like that like I do. But it's having issues. And I'm going to admit that when my dad was around, he was not an electrician, but he'd have a go at it. And there were certain things that he wired up that were not exactly like they should be. And so I put aside something that I had already planned, and I went over there and I spent the day, and I did my absolute best to straighten out her mess. I did something I thought they would have done. I checked every circuit, turning off one breaker at a time to see what was on that circuit. I would have thought they'd have did it, but they didn't. That kind of stressed me out. I get all that done. I found out, man, on the one circuit, the only thing on there is the bathroom vent fan. Whole circuit. That's the only thing in the whole house on that circuit. But on the circuit right below that, the breaker below that, they got every plug-in in the bedrooms, the hallway, half the plug-ins in the living room, part of the plug-in, the kitchen. Well, no wonder it's having problems. It's way overloaded. You think they'd have, for $3,000, you think they'd fix that. They didn't. So I was upset about it. Trying not to be upset at her. Honestly, to be honest, I felt like, how could you get suckered like that? And then I was upset at them, and I was upset that I had to rearrange my schedule because I had things that I had told other people that I would go and do, and I couldn't do it. I had to go over there and deal with her mess. Which she said, well, you griping about dealing with your mom's mess? What kind of, like, I'm sorry, it is what it is. I'm real. I don't pretend like, you know, that I got everything in order. Jesus does. I'm just doing my best to follow him. So I spend the whole day over there, and I get it straightened out, and I'm there for several hours after we finish, just visiting and keeping an eye on things. I said, well, I pulled off some of that heaviness off that circuit and rerouted it and this. And this. You can do that out in the country. I was doing it with her. She was helping me. It's her house. That's legal. And I really was doing it with her. She was literally helping me. I was literally helping her. So get it straightened out. Seemed no problem. I said, I don't believe you're going to have any more problems, okay? Now, I need to come back later and do some more, but this is going to get you through. This will be fine. So I go on about my business, feeling good about it. The thing that I had put off to the, I was trying to pick it up the next day. I've got that on my mind. I need to go do this for them. Somebody else needs this. I would like to do this. I feel pulled to do that, and I'm literally feeling like I'm pulled in about five directions. And Sharon comes up with something she wants me to do. I wasn't very nice. About that time, my phone rings. My mom calls. I think I'm still having problems. I'm like, I got quiet. She goes, are you still there? I said, yep, I'm still here. I just kept my mouth shut for a minute. I said, I'm just kind of letting it soak in a minute. I said, what kind of problems are we having? Well, that circuit you worked on in the kitchen, it's still going off. It's whatever. And I said, I'm shocked. I'm totally shocked at that. What do you mean? What went off? What's off? Well, my light over my kitchen sink that's plugged into that plug-in, the little strip light, little fluorescent. I said, does your garbage disposal work? I don't know. I said, well, go try it. Yeah, it works. Okay. Is your stove on? Yep. She goes, that light just flickered, and then it went off. I said, I think you might need a light bulb. Now, she done called me, and I'm already stressed out. I'm being honest. I was already stressed out about this, that, and other, and pulled, like I feel like I'm pulled in 100 directions. And she calls me, and I just see myself having to go back over there and go through all this process, whatever. And I just about lost it. I didn't. I just about did, though. And the reason why I just about did, I just about teed off on my 86-year-old mother. I wanted to say to her, how stupid are you? I mean, sorry. I literally had that thought. But I took hold of that thought. I did not say that to my mom. I would never say that to my mom. My feelings were running rampant toward that direction, but I did not let them, because here's why. I took hold of those thoughts that were bombarding me, that pulled here and pulled there and pulled here and pulled there. And I just started praying. She started praying with me. I said, let's just pray about it in a minute. I started praying. She prayed with me. That don't hurt nothing. When I got done praying, I felt better. She goes, listen, it's not a crisis. It's not a crisis. Don't worry about it today. It's fine. It's fine. You don't need to drop anything or come over here or none of that. I just wanted you to know. I'm thinking, well, you sure blessed me with that. All right. She goes, my dryer wouldn't start either. I'm like, oh, that don't have anything to do with it. It's on its own circuit. See, now she's seeing goblins everywhere, because she had a legitimate problem. Now she think everything, the dryer door wasn't shut all the way. I don't know what's going on. And I'm not trying to fault her. But I'm telling you that all these things were pulling on me. Here's what the passage says. Don't be pulled in different directions. Don't be worried about a thing. But be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled request to God with overflowing gratitude. You know what I wasn't doing that morning? That. I was not, before I caught hold of myself, when I almost lost it. I almost lost it. Almost said ugly things to my own dear sweet mom. That was last week, by the way, not 10 years ago, in case you wondered. I was not saturated in prayer that morning. I never start my day without prayer, but there's a difference between you've prayed and you're saturated with prayer. I prayed. I won't get out of bed without praying. I go through the shower, I'm praying, but I'm not saturated with prayer until I'm totally at peace and I'm literally just walking through the day. I might be praying as I'm going, as I'm doing, whatever. That's how we need to be. You say, well, I can't just spend all day long praying. I got a job. I got things to do. Okay, let me define prayer for you in a different manner than you might think of it. Here's how I define prayer. You have a constant open communication line with the Father. It's like I called him up because I just wanted to hear his voice. I wanted to talk to him about some things that I'm facing. Cast my cares on him, because he's the one that told me to do it. Because he cares all about me. But here's the thing. A lot of times we do that. We call up God because we need to cast our cares. And we want to check prayer off our to-do list. But we, at the end of the conversation, we hang up. Well, don't do that. Say, hey, Father, I got a lot of things I got to do now, so I'm going to be all right if I just keep you on speakerphone. We can talk all day. While I'm coming and going, I might be talking out loud to you all day because they'd lock me up. But while I'm going, while we're doing, I'm just going to keep you on speakerphone, and anytime you got anything you want to say to me, I'm all ears. And I just like to hear, you know, I remember being so infatuated as a teenager with Sharon that we would talk on the phone, and sometimes we would talk so long we'd run out of stuff to talk about. And we'd just listen to each other breathe. And I'm going to tell you straight up, sometimes you just need to be so quiet that you just sit and listen to Father God breathe. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't let it, life get to you. Don't let it pull and pick and tug and tussle to the point where you act contrary to your nature. Don't be anxious about anything. Put in everything with prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the final verse we need to quit is this, verse 7. He said, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. That is not the same thing. Your heart and mind are two separate parts of your life. Your heart is your spirit and your mind is your mind. Your mind is your, I think of your mind, it's not your brain. Your brain is the transmitter for your thoughts. But it's not the originator of your thoughts. Your spirit's the originator of your thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? But our brain processes that. Our mind processes that. So what do I need to do to avoid anxiety and fretting and stewing? How do I avoid it when life is so stressful? I've already mentioned it. You cast your care on the Lord because he cares for you. That is it. Well, how do I do that? In prayer. But don't just do that. Don't just go have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about your troubles. Get in tune with the Lord and stay there. And anytime an anxious thought, a worry, fear-filled thought, a jealous thought, a selfish thought, like Martha was being all selfish. She thought Mary was being selfish, but actually it was Martha who was being selfish. Monitor that thought process. And if your thoughts are not bringing you peace, guess who they didn't come from? They didn't come from God. So where'd they come from? It doesn't even matter where they come from. They could be your very own thoughts. It could be you thinking that. Or it could be that there's a spiritual battle going on and you're being fed information into your thought life. Not every thought that you come in your head is a good thought or a happy thought or a true thought. And not even every thought that enters into your mind is your thought. You know how I know that? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal weapons, but they are mighty through God of the pulling down of strongholds. And it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If you need that, that's 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It means we have to take thoughts captive. We don't just let our mind just keep thinking, it ain't right. She's sitting in there at the feet of Jesus, and I got all this work to do. It ain't right. She should have nipped that in the bud. She should have rejoiced in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be. She should have been telling herself these things. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Just talk to the Lord about it in your heart, in your spirit. Pray. I love this, the way the Passion Translation ends it. It says this. I'm going to read 6 and 7. Don't be pulled different directions, worried about a thing, but be saturated in prayer throughout the day, offering faith-filled requests before God. Don't go to God and worry out loud. There are people that if I was God and they were praying the way I've heard some people pray, I'd tell them to be quiet. I'd like, that ain't prayer. You just coming to me just dumping what you're doing. Telling me how bad it is, how bad, and where are you, God? Oh, God, why did you, you know, offer faith-filled requests. In other words, get a word from the Word, bring it to God, and thank him for it. Verse 7 says, when we do that, God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. He'll make answers known to you. You need answers? He'll make that. You know, I heard somebody say one time, got problems? God has answers. I can plagiarize that. Andy told me I could. No, he didn't tell me I could, but I will anyway. God has answers. You don't really have anything to be worried about. Not a single thing. If you just keep your mind in the right place. I'm going to give you a verse. I won't go there to read it, but I'm going to give it to you because you can look at it later. It's Isaiah 26, verse 3. the Lord reminded me of this one. It was a kind of afterthought as I was headed, kind of getting ready to head out the door this morning. Isaiah 26:3 in the King James says this: "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." The reason why I quote the King James, because it's the best one out of all every translation I've seen. And it's just literally this: if I will keep my mind on the fact that Jesus loves me, God is with me, he is for me, his peace that passes all understanding will just keep helping me to put down all this stuff. Are you in a battle today? Are you going through it? Yeah. Well, just keep telling yourself this: God's with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He's a good God. He's a healing God. He's a loving God. May not be how I want it today, but I don't have anything to worry or fret about because Jesus loves me. I'm keeping my mind on that. Amen and amen. So put it into practice.
Amen. Mr. Joe Pyatt commented, he said, "Amen on fret and leading to evil and self-destruction related to fret."
Mm-hmm.
"Be aware of confrontations. Strive for agreements, not discontent."
Amen.
Amen. And Ms. Neva said, "Good morning." We love y'all. Good morning.
Be blessed.
You want to pray to end us out?
Yep. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And Jesus, you said the truth we hear, the truth that we walk in, would set us free. God, I know that the reason you had me bring this word from your word today is because it's something we all deal with. But Father, there may be someone who's listening to me and they say, you know, I'd like to do all that. I'd like to cast my care on the Lord, but I don't even know where I stand with Jesus. Well, Father, today I pray, God, that they would have faith in their heart to just make peace with you and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I need you, Lord. Please be the Lord of my life. Forgive me now. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless y'all.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, Tina Dobbs, Rick, and Pastor D-Light Dwight Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.